Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts, chapter 7. Acts of the Apostles, what some call the Acts of the Holy Spirit. There's both are there, praise God. As we look at this early church, as it's called that, or the beginning church, and how they started out and how they progressed, I believe it sets a great example for us today as well. We cannot be just like people in the past. There's sometimes we'd like to change the past, make it like, or change the future, or the present to the past, and it's not going to happen. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God can still move by His Spirit today as He did 10 years ago, 100 years ago, 2000 in this case. And so let's look up on Jesus today. Just put our eyes on eternal Christ, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. The last, this chapter and a half here that Stephen had been preaching to them, and I want to tell you something, he put the pedal to the metal, so to speak. He laid it out straight, and they didn't like it. But truth, it's better to know the truth if it hurts than to know a lie if it makes you feel good. We want the truth. And so Stephen is speaking to the people here, his audience, in verse 51, Acts 7, 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, praise the Lord, and said, look, I see heaven opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with the sin. And he, when he had said this, he fell asleep. Chapter 8. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women and committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to Samaria, city of Samaria, and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, seeing and hearing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, most of all for your presence. And I pray your presence would abide with us, your anointing upon your servant, your people, Lord, to hear and receive your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We find here in Scripture that great persecution broke out. So I want to talk to you about the persecuted church for a few minutes this morning. Amen. And brother, I'm glad for the song on heaven, because people that die for their faith, that's where they're going. Praise the Lord. People that don't die for their faith, or that just die a natural death, that's where they're going to if they're born again. But there's several great things that are mentioned in Scripture here. And I preached last week, they had great power. With great power, they gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and great grace was upon them all. So they had great power, they had great grace. And we found out last week that great fear came upon the church with Ananias and Sapphira's judgment came upon them because they lied to the Holy Spirit. But now we find in this scripture another great, and that is great persecution. Well, Pastor, we'd just rather not deal with that, but we must deal with it. The early church would now be challenged. And it was not just shouting in Jerusalem. It was not just rejoicing at the Holy Spirit's coming. And there is great rejoicing in that. Praise the Lord. But now it comes to the place where Stephen would have to stand and preach and testify against the Jews' rejection of Christ as a Messiah. And he started Old Testament. I mean, he brought the scriptures. He laid it out straight to where none could be confused about what he was saying. Stephen would preach. He would testify against the Jews' rejection of the Messiah. James the apostle would be killed, murdered by Herod. Peter would be let out of prison by an angel. But Peter eventually would be crucified to upside down, tradition tells us, because he didn't feel he was worthy to be crucified like his Lord. And this church would endure great persecution. And some would pay with their lives. All of the apostles would pay with their lives except for one. But I think, well, you say, well, that was back then. That was 2,000 years ago. Let me tell you something. Here in America, we don't think those kind of things could happen to us. And we don't think too much about people resisting the gospel message. You know, you can walk down Main Street or whatever street it is here with the biggest Bible you can find. And you won't nobody bother you. You can say whatever you want to about Jesus and nobody will bother you about it. But it's not like that everywhere. And so we don't think too much about resisting the gospel. You either believe or you don't believe. That's kind of the way we put it in our country here. That's your choice. But it may always be like that. But to proclaim Christ could eventually come at a price even here. And so I say these things because this has been in my spirit for a long time now. I'm not giving you a message that's doom and gloom. But I'm telling you that things can happen here in our own country that are happening in every other countries. During the year of 2016, let me tell you this. Some 90,000 Christians were killed for their faith around the world. So this is not something just happened 2,000 years ago. We're talking about 2016. Sure, it's happening in 2017. They are like people like you and I, that they got up, Christians, believers, got up one morning like we do today, got dressed, went to work, pursued a normal life. But somewhere, they were identified as a believer and would give their life for their faith that day. That's how strong it is still in our world that we live in today, in some countries of the world. You say, well, I'm all right because it's not in my country, but it could be in your country, in our country. But let me tell you, friend, the Word of God is given to us where we can prepare our hearts for whatever comes. No matter what happens, we're going to stay with Christ. We're going to live for Him no matter what. Amen. No matter who says what or who goes where, we're going to stand for this gospel. Amen. It's settled in our heart. We're going to walk with Jesus, live for Jesus. Amen. Die with Christ in our hearts and shout glory all the way to heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hopefully that got a little better by the end. Amen. But let's look at the persecuted church now. Let's look at, first of all, reasons for persecution. What causes persecution? And we're talking about persecution of believers, Christians, who are standing for the Word of God and standing for the truth about Jesus Christ being the only way, truth, and life. The spread of the gospel caused persecution here. I mean, the people maybe had got comfortable in Jerusalem there. They had several thousand people that had been saved. They had church going on there. Amen. And said, we'll just stay right here in our own world, and we'll just be okay right here like we are, and we're not going to get out anywhere. We're just going to keep all to ourselves right here. We just want a family church, family-owned and operated. And they could have stayed in Jerusalem, no. But they began to spread out, and what caused this, no doubt, was persecution. They scattered everywhere, preaching the word, not hiding, but preaching the word. Amen. And because this life-changing gospel, they were preaching it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This life-changing message could not stay in Jerusalem. It had to get out. It had to obey Christ's command to take the gospel to the whole world, to every nation. And the truth was proclaimed through the preaching of Stephen here. His preaching was so strong that his opponents could not resist him. Man, Words are powerful, regardless of what we think. Words really are powerful at times. Amen. And here, Stephen's words were very powerful. Chapter 6, verse 10 of the same book. It says they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Stephen spoke. And he had some stronger words than that. Chapter 7, verse 51, he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you." So Stephen's preaching was strong. It was to the point. They could make no mistake of who he was talking to or what he was talking about. You rejected the Christ, and you're too stubborn to change your mind and believe that Christ is the Messiah, Jesus. And so his preaching was so strong, his opponents could not resist him. And this led to anger from the crowd. And Stephen here was stoned, threw rocks at him till he died. But even in his death, he saw heaven open and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Jesus coming to his feet to welcome the first martyr of the church home. Hallelujah. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on the name of the Lord, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Now, if you ever had any question about soul sleep, this should prove you wrong here. "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Immediately he was with Jesus. Praise God. And so he proclaimed the truth. Reasons for persecution. Spiritually, people are persecuted because the devil hates your proclamation of the gospel, whatever it is. He hates the gospel message. He hates for people to be free from the bondage of sin. And let me tell you something, it may not make you feel good to tell you that somebody hates you, but I want to tell you plain and clear this morning, the devil hates you with a purple passion. Because you are created in the likeness and the image of God, and God breathed into your spirit, your body, the breath of life, and you became a living soul, an eternal soul. And the devil hates that. There is no plan of redemption for the fallen angels, but there is a plan of redemption for you and I, and God made it that way, and the devil hates that. He hates your life, your witness, your testimony, anything that promotes the truth, the devil hates. The devil hates for humanity to have the message of hope. He resists. He would tell all the church, "Let's just stay right here like we are. Let's don't reach anybody around the world. Just let God save the heathen however he can." No, God has chosen you and I as a church of the living God to go forth into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And so, he hates us for the message of hope, the devil does. And he surely hates the message that promises eternal life to those who believe. How could it be so simple that this human race down here that God created, they can have eternal life by simply calling upon the name of the Lord and believing that Jesus was the Son of God and turning their life over to God? He hates that message. Let's see if we can help this a little bit. Praise God. Let me remind you on the opposite end of that, God does really love you. Praise the Lord. And God is raising up a victorious church, not a beat-down, depressed church, but God is raising up a victorious church. We can look at this gospel and say the best is yet ahead for the child of God. We're headed toward a heaven that's real. We're headed for an eternity that God is in charge of. We're headed for eternal life. God made it that way and God promised it. And God sent his only Son, amen, begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. We know that God has made a way for us. And God encourages with his scripture. Philippians 1:6, we can be confident. Now, amen, not discouraged, not depressed, not downhearted, but being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun the good work in you will see it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to the promise of God through scripture. For as it is written, "For your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." My friend, you want security? You walk with Jesus. That's where security is. There's no security outside of Christ, but if you're walking with Christ, you have his security. You think you can't get greater promises than that. Amen. And then Paul walked with Christ. Paul later on would make a decision. He persecuted the church here, but he would be converted on the Damascus Road. And from that time on, he preached Christ. He lived Christ. Amen. He suffered many things because of the gospel. Amen. He went through things you and I wouldn't want to go through. He was beaten 3 times with rods. He was stoned and left for dead at one time. But I want to tell you something. When it got to the end of his life and he would be executed for his faith, I can see Paul as he walks up to the chopping block where they were going to cut his head off. He could say, I am now ready to be offered. Amen. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all those who love his appearing. Hallelujah. He didn't quit. So, reasons for persecution is because the church is moving forward. But God has a victorious church that's not going to lose. Praise the Lord. Second of all, let's look at what caused persecution. Chapter 8, verse 1, it says, Now Saul was consenting to his death, that of Stephen's, and now great persecution arose against the church, which is at Jerusalem. And they were scattered everywhere throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. What caused the persecution is because the church became obedient to Christ's command to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. What did persecution cause? It caused the spread of the gospel. Persecution has never caused people to get further from God. It causes people to draw near to God and ask for God's divine help, which he responds to. Amen. Sure, there's people that have denied Christ and failed and have been tortured till they would say a certain thing, but in their heart they were never meant to turn away from God. What happens, what persecution causes here is it causes the church to leave its comfort zone. And we're comfortable here. We don't have to worry today about somebody coming in with guns. Well, we may have to. And shooting everybody because they're a Christian. But that happens in other places in the world. It's happened a few times in our own world here. But we don't want to leave what we're comfortable with. But you know, the reason the gospel spread is because God made them uncomfortable where they were. And they began to preach not uncomfortable about Christ or the gospel, but they realized they had to go out. They had to be prodded to go on. Amen. And they had to have a little something to make them get them going. Scott and Laura, you'll understand this. Sometime to make a cow move, a little hot shot will just make them ready to get in the trailer. I'm not saying that God does that to us, but I'm saying that God prompted them. He had a way of making them to go forward, and they did. And so what persecution did, it caused them to leave their comfort zone. And we in America here, we like free stuff that costs nothing. And I'm not going to get too political here. But anyway, things we don't have to work for. We want free food, free health care, free internet, free entertainment. Amen. And surely we want these telemarketers to be real when they're saying you just want a free trip to the Bahamas. You know, everything paid except food and airfare and motel room. Yeah, right. But that's what we're used to hearing. But what caused persecution? It called for genuine faith is what it called for. Amen. Salvation is free. It is given. It is unearned. It's received by faith. We know that all the scriptures go behind that. For by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen. Created to work for God. And so genuine commitment is what it takes to serve God. I believe the day that we live in and when persecution comes, and we don't really know what persecution is here in our own country, we hear about it, we read about it in the scripture, and that's what we're supposed to know about it. Amen. But It takes a commitment to Christ that must not be wavering at all. It must be real. It must be certain. Matthew chapter 10, Scripture tells us there. Last time I checked, this Bible had Matthew. There you are. We think of the gospel. You're going to be saved, born again of God's Spirit. You got all the blessings and all that, and you do. But we're just going to live a life of ease here, and we're going to live for God, and things will be okay. I'm not reading this out of the Bible. But that's the idea that we get sometimes. But Jesus makes a very strong statement of what it would take to serve God, even when you're persecuted, even when it comes at a price. My friend, I'm not going to leave father, mother, son, or daughter, anything they do, keep me out of heaven. I'm going to walk with God no matter what. No matter what life they choose or what influence they may have in the earthly sense, my commitment to Christ is genuine, it's real. I'm going to stay with Him no matter what. But Jesus said that sometimes will come at a price. Matthew 10:34. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Now, Jesus is telling about the cost it would be to stand for Him and to walk with Him. It's not that God's against peace. He is peace. He gives peace in our heart, and He's a Prince of Peace. He's coming back one day to rule and reign in a righteousness for 1,000 years of peace. But He's saying to stay for God, to live for God in this age, it may not always be a peaceful thing to serve God. And here are stronger verses that we don't like to hear, but it's still here in Scripture anyway. Jesus said this, "For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." What is He saying here? Do I come here to divide families? No, Jesus is saying here, because your stand for the faith and your life, your commitment to Christ, some family members may not accept your Jesus. They might not accept the commitment you've made to this one Christ that we serve. They might not want to have anything to do with it. He's not telling people to break up your home. He's not telling people that I'm promoting divorce and remarriage. He's not doing that at all. God doesn't promote that. But He's telling you that whatever it costs, if father or mother, son or daughter rejects your faith in Christ, you keep on living for God anyway. Your commitment must be real. It must be genuine because it's eternal. All the other things will pass away, but eternity's around forever. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Man, you may love wife, mother, daughter, son or daughter. I'll tell you, friend, you might love grandchildren. No might about it. We do love grandchildren. But nothing can compete with your love for God. We like competition here in America, and we like it in sports, but competition cannot enter the spiritual life. Nothing competes for God. He's number one. He must stay that no matter what. "He who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses my life, loses his life for my sake, will find it." He's saying, whatever the cost, whatever it costs, you stay with Jesus, you keep walking with Him, you live for Him. And I don't care if your whole family leaves you and say, "I'm not going to live like that," or "I'm not going to be in a home with a person that's religious." Well, but if you have a relationship with God, my friend, you keep on living for God anyway, no matter what people say. People say anything. But God says, what God says matters. So here in the book of Acts, they were scattered everywhere and they preached Christ. They didn't preach a message of prosperity. They didn't preach no message of complete absence of difficulty. But they did preach a message of hope. They preached a message of eternal life. They preached a message of the never-failing love of God. They preached a message of power over the enemy of their soul. And that's what they preached, and people were saved, and people came here in Samaria of all places, because Jews and Samaritans didn't get along together at all, but they came here and God began to respond. And Jesus said, "Go into all the world, even to people you don't like, or people you don't care for, or races of people you don't care for," which was the case here. The Samaritans and Jews didn't care for each other at all, because the Samaritans were a mixed race, part Jew and part something else, kind of like Americans. We're all part something. I've quit trying to figure out which part you are, so don't worry about it. Amen. But we don't know. But I'm glad that Jesus sent the message to every nation, every tribe, every tongue, everybody. God doesn't have a certain picked out few that he likes more than everybody else. But God loves you as much as he loves anybody. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, God thinks the same of you as much. He puts no personal favoritism on anyone. Something most of us can't say. But they preached Christ to these people, and God began to work powerful things. It wasn't just at Jerusalem, but it was here in Samaria, of all places. Amen. The Spirit of God began to talk to people. Amen. It says, multitudes with one accord gave heed to the things that Philip said, and hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. They even got delivered from evil spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Praise God for the healing power of God. Do believe in divine healing. Amen. But also, I believe in something else. The Bible says there was great joy in that city. Amen. They forgot about they got run out of Jerusalem. They forgot about the people that threatened them. They forgot about Paul that was going around trying to get people put in prison and killed because of their faith. He would later be converted. But now, we see here in Samaria, God was pouring out his Spirit. Amen. And you know, after a while, the Samaritans, this is not in Scripture, begin to think, you know, we need what these people got. And there's Simon the sorcerer here. He wanted that. He wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. You can't buy the Holy Spirit. God's not for sale, regardless of what you've heard. But we see here that the apostles reported at Jerusalem, or when the apostles at Jerusalem heard what Samaria had received, the word of God, they sent Peter and John, and when they had come, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now let's get this very clear here. These people were as saved as they could be. They were born again of God's Spirit. They were delivered from evil spirits. They were delivered from the devil and from the sin nature. They were forgiven as they could have been forgiven. And they were birthed, born again of God's Spirit, indwelt by the Spirit, but they had not yet been baptized in the Spirit. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because you see, we don't need to just stop halfway. People are saved. If they die like that, never spoken in tongues, they'll go to heaven. Birthed, born again of God's Spirit, you don't receive the spirit of bondage again, the fear, but you've received the spiritual adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God, and if children, then heirs. You're born again, receive eternal life when you're saved, when you're born again, but you need the power of the Holy Ghost to continue on. And surely we need it today. We don't want to set it back on the shelf and say, we don't need that stuff. Yeah, you do. You need God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. He is God. Just like Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Great persecution called for a great need for power. This power of the Holy Ghost is what Jesus promised. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. Now this group of new believers would need that same power. How do we think in this day that we live in that we can survive or that we can go forward and have a victorious Christian life if we're not filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit? My friend, we can't. But I'm here to tell you, God is the same. He's yesterday, today, and forever. What he did for the 120 on the day of Pentecost, he wishes to do in you and I today. He wishes to fill and refill us with his Spirit. It's not God's will for you to be destroyed, defeated, discouraged, depressed. It's God's will that you have great joy in your heart like these people did, and to move on and go forward for God. Amen. Great power, great fear, great persecution, but a great God. You are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Praise the Lord. Let's let God have his way. Great persecution, but a great God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Would you stand with us?